Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Groups join to offer free counseling. As Texas navigates through the transition of reopening, healthcare workers and first responders are bracing for a spike in hospitalizations due to the novel coronavirus. As the COVID-19 units are nearing capacity within local hospitals, frontline responders will need support. With guidelines that limit the number of people allowed in hospitals, people must enter without a family member or friend. Healthcare workers become the sole source of comfort for their patients. The fear of bringing COVID-19 home to loved ones is also an incredible burden to bear. Centers for Children and Families Executive Director Christy Edwards, in a news release, detailed that she early on decided that the center would need to support these workers with mental health care services. The frontline workers directly fighting this deadly disease should have easy access to counseling services, Edwards noted. To help those who help us, Centers is offering free counseling to all health care workers and first responders battling COVID-19. Thanks to grant funds from the Yarbrough Foundation and the Scarborough Foundation, we are able to carry out this important mission along with Agape and Samaritan Counseling Centers. For more information on free sessions for qualifying healthcare workers and first responders, please contact any of the three partnering agencies: Agape of West Texas, AGAPEWestTexas.org, Centers for Children and Families, CentersTX.org, Samaritan Counseling Center, SamaritanCCWTX.org. ECISD seeks parent input. Ector County ISD leaders are asking parents for input as the district finalizes plans for the start of the new school year. The first day of school for all ECISD students is August 12th, and parents have the choice of sending their students to school for class or to keep their children at home with the school providing instruction online. ECISD is developing plans to do both every day. Last month, a series of 18 committees began working on plans for the new school year. Each committee is creating a plan for a different aspect of the day, building a daily schedule of transportation, instruction, lunch, and other activities, a daily schedule that will include all safety guidelines, including social distancing requirements, is challenging without knowing how many families may keep their students at home, a news release said. Tuesday evening, ECISD launched a survey to find out what parents are thinking at this time. The survey is short and takes only a few minutes to complete. The links to the English and Spanish versions of the survey are included in this press release. English, bit.ly/ECISD2020survey. Spanish, bit.ly/ECISD2020survey Spanish. By filling out this survey, parents are not making a firm commitment to either form of learning, but they are providing district officials with important information that will help schools design a day that is safe and effective for all children and staff. The survey is available on the ECISD website, www.ectorcountyisd.org, under the Back to School 2020 icon. It is also available through the district's Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Hello, this is Michael reading an additional article from the Odessa American, Friday, July 10th. Is it safe to visit the dentist during the pandemic? The Associated Press. Is it safe to visit the dentist during the COVID-19 pandemic? Dentists can't eliminate all risk, but they are taking steps to minimize the chances of spreading the coronavirus. You'll likely notice changes as soon as you enter the office. Many dentists have removed magazines from waiting rooms, for example, as well as some chairs to encourage social distancing. They also are spacing out appointments to avoid crowding their offices. You may be asked to arrive for your appointment with the facial covering and to wait in your car until equipment is cleaned and the dentist is ready. Before receiving care, you can also expect staff to take your temperature and ask about COVID-19 symptoms. Procedures are changing too. Coronavirus is spread mainly through droplets people spray when they talk, cough, or sneeze. Dental care requires close quarters and procedures that can generate a spray of saliva and water. To reduce risks, dentists are returning to manual tools for procedures like teeth cleanings instead of other instruments that may do the job faster but create more of that spray. Staff also have started wearing masks, face shields, and other personal protective equipment. Some dentists are charging for all the extra gear, so ask in advance if you should expect extra costs. As the pandemic spread earlier this year, dental offices in the U.S. mostly closed, except for emergency care. By the end of June, nearly all offices had reopened, according to surveys by the American Dental Association.
Obituaries for Friday, July 10th. Tom Paul James, Jr. Tom Paul James, Jr. died July 8th after a long illness. He was born August 30th, 1953 in Odessa, the second child of Tom and Helen James. He is survived by his sister and brother-in-law, Phyllis and Steve Marshall of Odessa, and brother and sister-in-law, Steve and Vivian James of Whitsitt, North Carolina, as well as nieces, nephews, and great-nieces. A private graveside service was will be held Monday at Sunset Memorial Gardens. A virtual visitation and memorial will be held via Zoom Tuesday, July 14th at 7 p.m. To join the visitation, please email steve@goseelove.org for a link and password. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. John Allen Pokorny. John Allen Pokorny, born August 21, 1938, to Raymond Victor Pokorny and Jewel McLean Pokorny in San Angelo, passed away July 7th. He married his high school sweetheart, Paula Wallner, and they divorced after 13 years of marriage. He then married Shirley Rice in 1972. John is predeceased by his parents, Raymond and Jewel. He is survived by his wife of 48 years, Shirley, daughter Ronna and Earl Moore of Midland, daughter Karma and George Erie of Brady, stepson Blaine and Sandy Kuhn of Odessa, son John Michael and Kami Pokorny of Montgomery, 5 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Graveside services will be held in San Angelo at Lawn Haven Memorial Gardens at 10 a.m. Saturday, July 11th. A viewing will be held Friday from 4 to 9 p.m. at Gutierrez Funeral Chapels in San Angelo, 1102 Knickerbocker Road. A memorial service will be held at a later date in Odessa. Brenda Tipton. Brenda Tipton passed away June 15th in Sweetwater. She was born in Carlsbad, New Mexico to Sally and Bob Sanford, October 23rd, 1960. Brenda is survived by her husband, David Tipton of Sweetwater, daughter Michelle Mowry, daughter Megan Mowry Ortiz, and husband Cagney of Seattle, Washington, son Hart Mowry of Charlotte, North Carolina, sister Beverly Hall and husband Wayne of Odessa, brother Bob Sanford and wife Wendy of San Juan, California, an uncle and aunt, her parents Sally and Bob Sanford of Odessa, as well as four nephews and two cousins. A family memorial service was held in Sweetwater in June. Death notices. Jose Alvarado. Jose Alvarado, 85, of Odessa, died Wednesday, July 8th. Mass was celebrated Friday, July 10th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, and burial followed at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. William Evans Jackson. William Evans Jackson, 87, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 28th. A graveside service was held July 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Karen Carlson officiating. Gay Lee Gaddy Nash. Gay Lee Nash, 86, of Kingsland, died Tuesday, July 7th. A graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. July 11th at Buck Creek Cemetery in Paducah. Arrangements are by Zapata Funeral Home of Paducah.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, July 3rd, 2020. The opinion page. Trump is not going to quit just because he's behind in the polls. After he's repeatedly survived the unsurvivable, we are supposed to believe that President Donald Trump might quit the presidential race before it truly begins because of a spate of negative polling. This is the latest chatter among unnamed Republicans, according to a widely circulated Fox News report and cable news talking heads. Trump is a volatile figure, and things could get weird if he's far behind in the final weeks. But the idea that he's going to fall on his sword because the conventional wisdom has turned sharply against him runs starkly counter to all Trump's predilections and past actions. Good luck convincing him he's going to lose after he survived the Access Hollywood tape that had GOP office holders deserting him in droves, and after he prevailed on an election night when many people closest to him thought he was sure to go down to defeat. There's nothing any political consultant, pollster, or advisor can tell him about his dire political condition that he hasn't heard and dismissed before. If the polling looks bad for him now, Hillary Clinton had sizable leads in 2016, too. The assumption behind the Trump might drop chatter is that the president would want to avoid the psychological sting of a loss, but he's already signaled how he'll handle a defeat by saying he was robbed. The anonymous Republicans chattering about this scenario surely are wish-casting and assume any other, GOP presidential candidate would be better for the party's chances. This, too, is doubtful. How would the great drop and switch even work? The party would be implicitly conceding that the incumbent Republican president was such a disaster that he couldn't even run for a second term, and then turn around and ask voters for four more years of yet another Republican president. One of the points of this exercise would be to repudiate Trump, but how could the party plausibly do that after loyally and enthusiastically backing him for 4 years? Who would be a turn-of-the-page candidate? The natural successor would be Vice President Mike Pence, but he's obviously more associated with Trump than any other figure in the party, besides the president's direct relatives. How about a Trump critic, say Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse? Such a choice would be a whiplash-inducing change of direction for a party led by the moment before by Trump. The president's base wouldn't go away even if Trump said he wasn't running again, and its feeling would have to be taken into account. And not to mention that Trump loyalists would make up a disproportionate share of Republican convention delegates who would presumably make the choice of a new candidate. At a time of great populist passion in the GOP, deciding on a presidential candidate without the direct say of any voters would be fraught with peril, to say the least, and more likely to produce a civil war rather than comity. So there's the question of Trump himself. Unless the Trump stepping aside scenario becomes even more implausible and involves him resigning the presidency and getting dropped off by Marine One at a monastery to begin a 4-month silent retreat, he's not going to quietly abide some other Republican soaking up all the public attention that comes with being one of the two people who will be the next president of the United States. Perhaps former Vice President Joe Biden indeed has a durable 10-point lead, in which case there's nothing that the GOP can do to avoid a terrible drubbing. If Biden is that strong, some emergency replacement Republican candidate, hastily chosen amid a political panic, isn't going to win either. It's more likely, though, that the race will naturally tighten and that Trump will be behind but within range and have a puncher's chance. Regardless, there's no way he quits without even trying to win the ultimate vindication for any president and the ultimate repudiation of his critics. Rich Lowry, King Features Syndicate.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Odessa American, Monday, July 6th. Guest column by Carol Cates. July means time for summer safety. Summer safety is something we should all consider as we venture into the outdoors during the hot summer months for us and our families. This year is going to look very different in terms of how we accomplish that summer fun because of the need to control the spread of COVID-19. But that does not change the need to think about summer safety. As you and your loved ones venture out of your homes during the hot summer months, please keep safety in mind. July, in part because of the 4th of July holiday, seems to be the biggest month for summer activity-related deaths and injuries. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, in looking at 20 years of July data starting in 1999, the U.S. had an average of 4 deaths related to fireworks, 4 deaths from skating, skiing, or skateboarding, 8 deaths related to diving or jumping in water, 12 deaths from lightning strikes, 14 deaths related to bee, wasp, or hornet stings, 85 deaths related to watercraft and boating, 153 deaths from heat exposure, 430 drownings, and 3,600 deaths in motor vehicle collisions each July. I know those numbers in and of themselves don't seem huge when you think about this over a month across the entire U.S., but what makes these numbers concerning is that most of these deaths were largely preventable. Here are a few summer safety tips to avoid injuries this summer season. When it comes to summer sun, remember the sun's rays are strongest between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., so be extra careful during those hours. Use a sunscreen with at least 15 SPF and choose one that protects against both UVA and UVB rays. Experts recommend applying sunscreen 30 minutes before going outside and reapplying every 2 hours. If you are in water or sweating, reapply every hour. Keep kids under 1 out of the sun as much as possible. Lightweight long sleeves and pants, and always cover their heads. Use sunscreen even on cloudy days, and consider sunglasses that provide 100% UV protection. Drink plenty of fluids and take breaks in the shade as often as possible. If you are traveling, seat belts for adults and teens, and properly fitted and secured car seats or boosters for younger kids. Children are always safest in the back seat of a car. Lock your car doors, both when the car is moving and when it is parked. Never leave kids alone in cars. Far too many children have died from heat stroke from being left in a car on a warm day. There is also the danger of a child putting the car in motion. If water activities are part of your summer fun, remember to never leave children alone near water. A good practice is to have adults take turns being the child watcher. That way, there is always someone holding that role and less risk for distraction. Consider life jackets for young children anytime they are near water. Even small bodies of water like backyard kiddie pools and even things as small as 5-gallon buckets have caused drownings in small, curious children. Make sure those things are emptied of water if your child cannot be supervised around them. Children, teens, and adults should wear life jackets when boating or while swimming in lakes, rivers, or oceans. One of the best things you can do for water safety is teach kids to swim. Yard safety is important, too. Keep children under 5 away when the lawn is being mowed, and never let children ride on mowers or in cars towed by mowers. Consider the age of the child when using push and riding mowers. Most experts recommend no less than 12 for a push mower and 16 for a riding mower. Stow mowers away from small children. Small children can cut or burn themselves on mower parts. If you use insect or weed killers on your yard, consult the label to find out when it's safe to allow children and pets to play in the yard. When it comes to riding, bikes, skateboards, rollerblades, scooters, hoverboards, basically anything with wheels, a helmet should be considered as minimal requirement. Remember, if you wear a helmet on your family rides, your kids will follow suit. Knee and elbow pads help avoid injuries as well. Bikes should be the right size for the child. Injuries are more likely with bikes that are too large. Brightly colored and floral print clothes can be attractive to bees and other insects, as can scented soaps, perfumes, and hair products. Consider unscented products and more neutral tones for your day outside. Follow manufacturers' labels carefully with insect repellents, especially when using them on kids. If you are going in an area where there may be ticks, wear long-sleeved shirts and pants, tuck clothing into pants, and pant cuffs into socks. And at the end of the day, check everyone who was on the trip's entire body for ticks. Have fun this summer. Please stay safe. Carol Cates is the Chief Nursing Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. You can reach her by email at carol.cates@steward.org. Odessa American Opinion Page, Monday, July 6th. National View. Republicans are the radicals on health care. The Point. Republicans never had a plausible replacement for Obamacare, while Democrats are showing that they have a detailed plan to fill in the system's gaps. The Trump Justice Department asked the Supreme Court on June 25th to kill Obamacare. This has long been a foolish, foolhardy obsession for President Trump. Even in the middle of a widening pandemic, he seeks to eliminate health care coverage for some 23 million Americans. In so doing, the president betrays his responsibility to defend in court a statute that Congress passed, resorting to bizarre legal arguments that liberal and conservative legal experts have denounced. The reasoning is so far-fetched that the Justice Department initially shuddered to embrace it. Even Attorney General William P. Barr tried last month to soften the Justice Department's stance. Government lawyers have argued that only parts of the Affordable Care Act had to go. Now they insist that if part of the law is flawed, the courts must dismantle the whole structure. Mr. Trump claims that he would maintain protections for people with pre-existing conditions and other popular elements of Obamacare, but he has no plan to do so. His position for the health care chaos. Anticipating the Trump administration's court filing, House Democrats offered a different vision. Discrediting Mr. Trump's attempts to paint them as unhinged socialists, the Democrats eschewed a revolutionary health care agenda. Instead, they offered the Affordable Care Enhancement Act, a package of changes that would dramatically improve the existing system. The Democrats would not touch the employer-sponsored health insurance that most non-elderly Americans depend on. Instead, they would bolster the system meant to help those without access to employer-based coverage. The centerpiece is an increase in federal subsidies that would enable low-income Americans to pay little or nothing in health insurance premiums and protect middle-income Americans from the high premiums and cost-sharing that have made it difficult for some to participate in Obamacare, particularly in rural areas. The plan would pump money into the state-based reinsurance programs that have already proved to restrain premium costs in the states that have tried them. It would also undo some of the damage Republicans have inflicted, pressing more states to expand Medicaid and rolling back the Trump administration's efforts to allow junk insurance plans. The result would be millions more covered Americans. The Democrats would fund the bill by lowering prescription drug spending, a policy that requires further debate. But the overall package is solid. Unlike Republicans, who never had a plausible replacement for Obamacare, despite years of braying about its defects, Democrats are showing that they have a detailed plan to fill in the system's gaps in specific legislative text that they could take off the shelf should they have the opportunity to govern. Their plan also refutes those in their party who argue that nothing but radical reform can bring progress. The Republicans, not Democrats, are the healthcare radicals. Column by the Washington Post.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, July 4th, 2020. Junior League Gives Outreach Center a Boost by Ruth Campbell. With a $4,780 donation from the Junior League of Odessa, Ector County ISD's Community Outreach Center will be able to supply basic needs for homeless students. Director of School Attendance Scott Randolph said needed items are things like uniforms, clothing, shoes, school supplies, and Easy Rider bus tickets. Randolph said the donation came at a good time. That will help us. I'll get to use it once the new year starts, which will be July 1st. So yes, that comes at a very good time, he said. This past school year, ECISD had 2,200 students who were considered homeless under the federal McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. Keep in mind that also includes families who are doubled up out of economic hardship or necessity. So when most people hear the word homeless, they don't consider that, and they might be shocked to hear that number of 2,200, Randolph said. He said about 80% of those are two or more families living in the same house due to economic hardship. He added that the McKinney-Vento Act includes doubled up as homeless. The designation helps youngsters who get caught in difficult family situations. It is helpful because you get a lot of families who, for instance, they will be going through a divorce or maybe there was domestic violence situation, and so they have to leave right away. And most of the time they will go back to family and friends and stay with them. So if we didn't count them as homeless, that would create hardships for those kids, and those are the ones who need protection the most, Randolph said. He said the center and communities in schools work together. Permian Basin Executive Director of Communities in Schools, Permian Basin, Eliseo Elizondo, said in a recent interview that his agency had run into some extreme situations during the pandemic where parents have lost their jobs and their children are the breadwinners in the family, so it's hard to get those students to focus on school. Elizondo said there have been parents who committed suicide, and CIS is trying to connect the children with resources. CIS has to keep in touch with those families, but virtually due to the coronavirus. They also have found families who are homeless or near homeless and have mental health needs. It's a team approach, Randolph said. They help us and we help them. They're there at the campus and they do a lot of positive things for kids. There are some very sad situations out there, that's for sure, Randolph said. He's expecting more people to wind up without a place to live as eviction protections expire. Randolph predicts that when school starts, there will be an uptick in students who are considered homeless. Right now, we have opened up registration. Families are supposed to re-enroll online, and then shortly we'll be opening up brand new registration, and we'll be opening it up earlier this year. So that way we'll get a better count ahead of time, so we're not rushed at the very end. I should know more about mid-August what the numbers are looking like, Randolph said. This coming school year, he said students will have a chance to attend a school in the zone they were living. The schools that were capped way out west, like Fly and Jordan and Bice, some of the schools that were capped, the kids had real long bus rides. The homeless kids did, so hopefully by reallocating portables to those capped schools, more of those kids won't have to ride the bus all the way into town to go to another school that isn't capped. That will benefit kids, Randolph said. More Chromebooks have been ordered by the center and by ECISD, so Randolph is hopeful these will get to the students who need them. He added that the district is working with the city and county on Wi-Fi access as well because students would get kicked off the network or access was spotty. Junior League Community Research and Development Chair Erica Thomas, who also is executor of Odessa Links, said she's been involved with Junior League for about 2.5 years. As part of community research and development, Thomas said they look at critical community data, the census, poverty rates, and ECISD Public Education Information Management System, or PEIMS, data. There's been that relationship of having that data, but also we recognize they are a crucial entry point to so many vulnerable students that enroll for the school year and throughout the year. During these critical and unstable times, we know that there will be needs that come up just in a regular school year, Thomas said. And with the pandemic, the center would be handling some of the most critical needs students and parents might have. Thomas said the Junior League thought that would be a good place to intersect those needs and help families with whatever help they needed to keep them stable and help ensure their children were set up for success for the year. We saw how well the school district was able to pivot at a very uncertain time, and it's still addressing those needs. So we felt that would be a wonderful contribution for their office to help with anything that would come along in this upcoming school semester, Thomas said. She added that she anticipates the number of students considered homeless will rise because people are defaulting on their mortgages or are unable to make rent payments. The center can be reached at 432-456-8569. New Tech grad turns to baking to earn extra dough, by Tony Venegas. After completing her freshman year at the University of Texas at Austin, Morena Leyva planned on getting a summer job to earn extra money for school and her apartment. Like nearly all plans in recent months, however, Leyva had to adjust her plans due to the coronavirus pandemic. The 2019 graduate of New Tech Odessa is back home for the summer, and even with the unusual circumstances, she's found a way to generate some money for school by turning to a longtime passion, baking. I've always enjoyed baking and selling, Leyva said. When I was in eighth grade, I sold cookies in school to my friends and family members to help pay for a trip to New York City. The hustle was really fun. The hustle has picked back up, this time with a different sweet treat. Leva is baking cinnamon rolls and turning it into Rolls, a small delivery business that she's gotten started within the last month. The inspiration for baking cinnamon rolls came from a poll that she went out, that she sent out to family and friends. The business has turned into a fun endeavor, given what's gone on in recent months. The only thing that hasn't been uncertain is that people like to eat, she said. They like to have snacks. People like to crave a little sweet treat, and it's cool that I'm able to deliver. While Leva bakes the tasty treats, she also has some help from others. She said her parents have helped out along with her boyfriend, Cesar Montano, who helps with the deliveries. It's helped both of them develop a closer relationship, and they feed off each other's strengths. He's a people person, and I'm a little bit shy, she said. He's able to reach out to sell and say hi to people when we go out and deliver. Leva added that while she enjoys baking, she also wanted to help out a good cause and make a difference. June is Pride Month, and she decided to donate a portion of her profits to the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is a national organization with a hotline dedicated to crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to LGBTQ youth. I really love what they stand for, said Leva of the Trevor Project. They're all about educating people and helping LGBTQ youth with a hotline and text messaging system for those with mental health issues. Leva says that she usually delivers Wednesday and Friday afternoons from 3 to 4 p.m., but could go longer depending on the number of orders. The best way to order the cinnamon rolls is by text at 432-530-6812. She doesn't have a set goal of what she wants to raise, but hopes that she can sell as much as she can before August, whether she returns to Austin and stays in the Permian Basin for online classes. If she returns to Austin, there's a chance that this project can keep going beyond the summer. I had some friends from college encouraging me to sell when we go back to school, she said. I might figure out how to do that in Austin as well. We'll see what happens. Paranormal Cirque. Paranormal Cirque has been scheduled for July 16th through 26th under the black and red big top tent in the parking lot at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Showtimes will take place at 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays and 6:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Saturdays and 5:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Sundays. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YACQ8C3P or tinyurl.com/YA9E9GNF. Retirement. Paula McNally retired June 29th after serving as a dispatcher for the Ector County Sheriff's Office for 11 years and 3 months. She was presented a certificate for Master Telecommunicator and First Responder by Sheriff Mike Griffiths. Her plans for retirement are fishing, painting rocks, and watching the sunset with her husband of 41 years. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 5th, 2020. Start with trust. Tips for buying cars on Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. 4th of July is approaching, bringing car sales and deals with it. Among COVID-19, online car sales have been increasing in popularity. However, this makes aspects of the car buying process, like financing and payment terms, more difficult to understand. Knowing the best ways to handle online car sales is important. In 2019, BBB received nearly 200 complaints against the auto industry. Between January and May 2020, 99 complaints were made, a higher monthly rate than last year. Use these tips from your Better Business Bureau to guide you through online car purchasing. Set a budget. Determine the most you are willing to spend each month on a car payment. This budget should include additional expenses such as insurance payments, gas, routine maintenance, etc. Stick to this budget, even if a salesperson wants you to consider paying more. Research thoroughly. When considering purchasing a vehicle, determine what kind of car suits your needs. Do you need more space in a family car? How important is fuel economy? Ask yourself these questions, then research different models from different manufacturers. You should also research the best prices at different dealerships. Consider sales, such as 4th of July sales, when buying. Pre-qualify for loans. Most dealerships offer in-house financing for their customers, but you can find lower interest rates by financing with your bank or credit union. Being pre-qualified for a loan also helps you set your budget and allows you to set a price range which dealers will have to meet in order to make a sale. Take a test drive. Unfortunately, there is no substitute for test driving a car, even during a pandemic. You will want to take a test drive to ensure the car handles the way you want it to. Call the dealership and see what processes they have in place for conducting test drives. If possible, schedule an appointment to cut down on your time spent inside the dealership. Complete the sale. Final contracts are often signed in person, but with more car sales being done online, vehicle deliveries are becoming more common as well. If your dealership offers this option, you may be able to sign paperwork upon delivery. This allows you more opportunity to practice social distancing, even while buying a car. To find more tips on online car delivery or to find an accredited dealer near you, visit us at bbb.org. OC Takes Steps to Help Students in Crisis by Ruth Campbell. Odessa College has taken steps to help students impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic with an emergency scholarship fund, its food pantry, and CARES Act funding. Executive Director of Advancement for the Odessa College Foundation, Jackie Gore, said the fund started March 20th, right as the quarantine began and OC moved classes online. We set some parameters for the scholarship, so we allotted $100,000 for the emergency scholarship fund, and those who can apply are part and full-time students enrolled in degreed programs with a 2.5 GPA that have been affected by COVID. That could mean their hours were cut, they lost their job, someone in their family lost their job, impacting their ability to continue on with their education, Gore said. We set it up to award up to $500 per student to cover tuition and or books, she added. From March 20th to June 15th, when this interview was conducted, 167 students had received emergency scholarships, totaling $81,273, Gore said. If we could get more donations for emergency scholarships, that would enable us to help our students. This isn't a short-term process. We know the impact of COVID is continuing. Our economy is still struggling, and so the focus of this scholarship is to help students continue their education, she added. When students apply, they provide a description of their situation. And there have been some heart-wrenching stories where students were so very close to completing their degree, lost their job, or someone in their family lost their job, their spouse or their parent. There was no way to pay. So this was the OC Foundation's way of helping those students above and beyond the scholarships that had already been awarded for the spring semester, Gore said. Gore noted that many OC students are non-traditional and the crisis shed light on their needs. They're working parents. They have kids in school. They're trying to advance their careers or change careers with their education. And all of a sudden, it felt like overnight, maybe their job changed and their children started needing to be educated at home. So there were so many challenges there. With the lack of technology in the home, lack of time to get it all done with mom or dad needing to complete their coursework, and the children needing to complete their coursework, just many challenges, and several of the applicants talked about that in their request, she said. Vice President for Student Services Kim McKay said the college received just over $1 million in funding through the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, for student needs. The college also got another allocation in about the same amount for institutional needs. Institutions are able to access those funds or draw down those funds for the same type of needs that they experience due to the transition to online instruction. So it could be technology, it could be preparing for bringing students on campus this fall, McKay said. We have used it to increase technology so that we are able to seamlessly provide remote, virtual, and online instruction during the transition in the spring and continuing through the transition this fall. The funds received as part of the CARES Act stimulus funds allows OC to distribute emergency aid to students impacted by the transition to online instruction. The college was given $1 million, just over $1 million, to distribute to students over the next academic year. We have a process by which we identify the students who had the most need on our campus, students whose expected family contribution through the federal financial application was zero, and those were the students we reached out to first. Then we scaffolded our communication to include more and more students and cast a wider and wider net. In the past month, we've been able to distribute up to $300,000 so far to students who are impacted by the transition to online instruction, McKay said. That translated to close to 500 students as of June 23rd.
Atorvastatin, levothyroxine, raloxifene interactions. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Friday, July 10th. Dear Dr. Roach, about a year ago, I was taking 10 milligrams of atorvastatin and alternating daily doses of 50 mcg and 75 mcg levothyroxine. When my doctor added 60 milligrams of raloxifene, my thyroid readings went from the normal range to 13 or more. My pharmacist agreed that was one of the side effects, but he had never seen it go that high. As a consequence, I now take raloxifene at night, ensuring 12 hours between my morning and evening meds. I thought this might be something your readers would find of interest. Answer. I found a case report of a 79-year-old woman who also had this issue, and it appeared that the relaxophene blocked absorption of the levothyroxine. Taking the medications at different times was the solution used in that case as well. I appreciate your writing, as I did not know about that potential drug interaction. Cross-country relationship is kept a secret. Dear Abby, Friday, July 10th. Dear Abby, I'm in high school. My boyfriend lives across the country in a different state. He is a teenager too. I have asked people for advice about this before and mostly gotten the same answer. They say, wait till you're older, or your mom is just looking out for you. I don't believe it. So I'm asking for advice on how to tell my mom that I'm in a long-distance relationship and I would like to meet him in person. We met on a game about a year and a half ago. We've dated twice before for about a month or two, but now we have been dating for almost 5 months. When I told my mom about him, she didn't like him. She doesn't even know him. How can I convince her that he's a good person and she just has to get to know him so she'll let me see him? I'm afraid to tell her because the idea makes me nervous. She refuses to understand that he is good to me and he loves me and I love him. Although we're only teenagers, we have talked about forever. Do you have any advice for me? Struggling in Pennsylvania. Dear Struggling, yes, I do, and I hope you will take to heart what I am about to say because I am not patronizing you. Look at this from your mother's perspective. This young man is someone she has never met in person, and neither have you. Yes, you have been talking, but there is no guarantee that he is everything he has represented himself to be in those conversations. It is a mother's job to protect her child. There is truth to the statement that she is just looking out for you. I believe the feelings you have for this young man are valid, but I also feel that if he lived close by and your mother could meet him, things might be different. For the time being, continue communicating with him, and perhaps a more serious relationship will develop. However, consider this. What would you do if you finally found yourself in the same room with him and the chemistry wasn't what you expected it would be? This has been known to happen. Trust me on that. Time will tell if this is the real thing. Dear Abby, my girlfriend and I have been separated for nearly a year. Prior to this, we dated for nearly 4 years. After her mom passed, she fell into a depression and was grieving deeply. I went to see her, and she said it was over. We've had some contact, but it has dwindled to nothing. I brought my cat into the relationship, and now she won't give it back. She isn't answering my phone calls or texts. I'm blocked. I've tried letters and had friends try to talk to her. It's just mind-boggling. She's 57 years old. She's not a spring chicken. I will have to go to small claims court to get my cat back. I'd like to salvage the relationship and try to avoid all this. Cat Problems in Florida. Dear Cat Problems, you seem like a nice person and I sympathize, so I will offer this observation. You deserve an apology from that woman for her behavior. Do not try to salvage the relationship, which appears to have ended when her mother died. In time, you will find a lady friend who will reciprocate your feelings. Do take her to small claims court to get your cat back, because as it stands, it is the safest and most legal way you are going to have your furry family member returned.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Cancer and a moon in Pisces. Happy birthday for Friday, July 10, 2020. Patient and often detached, you are able to concentrate for long periods of time and thus are very successful this year. Your finances, after undergoing some stress, will improve. If single, Your innate shyness makes it difficult to approach your love interest, but you will find a way this year. If attached, your partner must be compatible with your mother, and then you'll experience relationship bliss. Pisces is very sensitive to your family. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today brings in a quieter mood. You will feel reserved, your childhood shyness revived. Animal friends and nature affect you deeply. Guidance comes from within today. You have greater mental energy, and it is easier to solve problems and make wise choices. Tonight, early bedtime. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Your success today will be directly affected by the effort you expend. Double-check contracts and communications related to your work. Friends and partners will make plans for you and offer advice. They earn your love and respect. Tonight, networking with large groups. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Accept changes gracefully in regard to your professional situation. Write a list of desired goals and affirmations. Read over the list carefully. This will actually help you deal with old conflicts and frustrations with aplomb. Tonight, the show must go on. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. If there have been travel-related glitches and delays, they should now start to clear up. You will want to offer support to loved ones. Dedication to worthwhile mutual interest enhances a love bond. Tonight, listen to someone you see every day for a suggestion. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. The old rules are changing. New feelings and needs are arising. Stay well informed about any changes in your source of income. Adapting to meet new needs will enhance your security. Tonight, try deep meditation and see what comes up. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Today promises a shake-up. There can be new interests and discoveries linked to a current partnership, in love or in business. If a tie has outlived its usefulness, this is a time to let go and move forward. Tonight, communication and understanding will be greatly improved. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Complete projects that have been in progress for too long. Your past health history or heredity can provide clues concerning health decisions you make now. A friend has reason to celebrate an accomplishment. Tonight, offer a meaningful gift in honor of the occasion. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Recreational activities that inspire thinking and learning will bring you happiness today. Perhaps you might join a book club to find a new love or romance. Encourage a potential love interest to talk. Listen. Tonight, children will be a source of comfort and joy. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Family members show new talents and versatility. Interesting events, conversations, and, finally, visitors make the domestic environment livelier. Work partners exhibit a take-charge attitude. Cooperate. Teamwork is the key to success now. Tonight, competitive feelings seem to be coming up. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Ideas suggested in casual conversation are worth examining. Read current magazines and newspapers. You are about to learn something valuable quite by accident. Impromptu short journeys around the neighborhood add a new dimension to your life. Tonight, catch up with old friends. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Adapt to changes at your place of employment or in the world economic condition as a whole. There will be a significant change for the better. You will be able to appreciate all that you have. Tonight, defer to a loved one on dinner plans. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Subtle, receptive, and compassionate, Pisces can be the most complex of the zodiac signs. Today, celebrate the real you. A breakthrough can be expected for Pisceans who have been working to perfect a skill or complete a program. Tonight, only as you want it. Born today, inventor Nikola Tesla, 1856, writer Marcel Proust, 1871, boxer Jake LaMotta, 1922.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.